Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Have you ever received a call from a number that you hope that you never get to speak to or respond to? It's such a long time. You get your phone and it was a text message or a call, and you look at it and you recognize that number and say, nope, I've deleted this number. In fact, in 2020, that's 6 years ago, and I don't receive it. You know that Christian life is a little bit like that sometimes. You know, your old you trying to call and trying to get into you. And then, you know, here's the thing, that what often happens is, you know, the person or the thing doesn't exist anymore. It was quite a long time ago. It doesn't exist. That you that was in the past died when you came to Christ. And then the only problem is that you and I often tempted to pick up that call and then engage. And then we find ourselves to that place where we're stuck in there. So we're kicking off that series that Pastor Charlie introduced to us. It's called Unstuck. You are not stuck being who you've been. No, you are missed. If you miss the sermons, there are places where you can go and download any sermons throughout the whole series that we're going through. I encourage you to download, watch, and share with someone. They might just need it to hear that message. Over the next few weeks, we are walking through the book of Romans. We continue. We've been working through. It's just an exciting, and I hope you enjoy on a journey with Romans. One of those books that is so down to earth, it just really addresses where we are as people of God. So we are now going to continue chapter 6 and 2-8. And this is Paul's masterclass in how real freedom works. Not just being forgiven one day, but being transformed every day. And that really connects with our cultural moments. You know, major surveys found that 3/4 of people say they feel stuck personally and also professionally. And then another research and surveys also shows that 61% say they feel stuck in a rut and they keep going through the motion. So when we stay unstuck, we are not being so cute and nice and friendly and calmly here. We are speaking into a deeply felt, very modern ache. And into that ache, listen to how God speaks into it in Isaiah 43. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. If you're a psychologist or if you're a scientist or if you're any of those kind of clinical counseling, you don't do that when someone comes to see you. Forget the past. No, you take series of the series and money of the money to try and unpack to be able to move forward. Now, Paul here, the book here is kind of remind us that this is a time when Israel were in exile. Okay, they were in exile, trapped by their history and also their failures and their wandering and all of that. But I also wonder if God is done with them. Does God still care about us? Into that, God says, stop staring at the former things. Stop dwelling and living in the past. I am doing something new. I'm making a way where there is no way and streams where there has only been a wasteland and nothing left. Romans 6 tells us how the new thing becomes personal. If you are in Christ, you died with Christ, you have been raised with Him, you are free to walk in newness of life. See, Isaiah says that God is doing a new thing. Paul in Romans 6 shows us how the new thing actually works in life. to see the connection here with what God says through Isaiah and what Roman Paul is trying to say. This is what God says here. I'm doing a new thing. But what does that new thing look like? Paul, here in this context, go further deeply to try and explain what does it mean to go into practice. You see, he went on, he started with a question. He says, what shall we say then? So we go on sinning so that grace may increase. It's like saying, you know, if God has massive, big room of grace and forgiveness, then we might as well keep sinning. Hopefully one day it'll empty that room of grace and forgiveness. Let's just keep doing it. Let God keep practicing on giving grace and forgiveness and mercy and love. You see, that's spiritual version of all you can eat. Not about the buffet shops that we go to. This is buffet Christianity. We just come and just eat and do all we want to do and just take whatever we pick until we're full. Buffet Christianity. Paul's answer to that intrigue is very much Aussie. If you like, in the Melbourneian language, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. If we think grace means I can just do what I do now, we come to a point where we actually misunderstood what grace is. Grace is not God lowering the bar. Grace is God changing the heart. That's what grace is. You know, listen to what Paul described it in other places. For the grace of God has appeared. It teaches us to say no to godliness and worldly passion and to live self-control, upright and godly lives. You were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. No, that's not what it is. Freedom in Christ is not whatever I feel. It's finally having the power to do what is pleasing to God and what is right and good in God's eye. You know, I remember teaching my teenage child to drive. The youngest one, she's not here today. In the first few lessons, she hit about 3 parked cars, knocking down 2 mailboxes, including ours, and scratches the car several times. Being a good father that I am, in response, I said to her, darling, don't cry, don't stress over it, it's just a car. You know, don't worry about it. I will always pay the fine. Just drive the way you drive. I can see you excited, you're enjoying it. Just drive the way, I look after everything, just don't worry. That's grace. You don't do that. You forgive the errors, yes, but then you train them. You show them a new way to drive because you care about their safety, you care about the future, and you don't have to empty your pocket. That's grace. Grace doesn't say, drive however you like. I've got the ticket. I've got the fine. Grace says, you are safe with me now. Let me teach you a new way to live. So here's the big line for us. Grace doesn't give you permission to stay stuck. Grace gives you power to be transformed and changed. That's exactly what God promises in Isaiah 43, not just to getting you out of one bad moment, but doing a new thing, making a way in the wilderness and streams in a wasteland. The application is to stop treating grace as a license to sin, to keep doing it. Start seeing grace as a power to transform your life. And then Paul goes deeper and he said, for we know that old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. So Paul, not just being a poetic, it was a good, you know, he loved to make words look nice. He's describing here a spiritual reality. When Jesus died, your old self, the you defined by sin and shame and separation from God, was nailed to that cross with him that we've been singing earlier on. One writer puts it like this: whatever happened to Christ has happened to you through union with him. Your old self died once and for all with Christ, and you now share his resurrection life. So in another context, a passage, he says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. For I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Sin is no longer your boss. You may still hear its voice, but it's no longer has a legal claim over you. God doesn't just forgive the old self and say, hey, you're done, go on, you're free, do whatever you like. He executes it and gives you a new self in Christ. Self is not just an understanding or new information. Self is all of us. For a while, I keep an old driver's license, and I happened to be at the post office. And the guy looked at me when I showed him my license. He said to me, that license expired a long time ago. Well, the license still look pretty new. My face, I was still looking handsome. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm still that cute-looking guy, and the photo hasn't changed. But legally, that license has no authority. It's expired, it's done, it's dead. The ID in the database is dead. That's your old self. You keep pulling it out in your thoughts. You know, I'm still that angry person. I'm still that addict, that failure, that ashamed teenager, that divorcee. But you know, in heaven's system, Romans 6 says that license has been canceled. It's expired. It's no longer valid. It's all done with. If you're Tongan, you grow up in Tonga, you might remember the story about Maui. This young man, Maui, this is a mythical story about the origin of Tonga. But some believe that there was this young man, Maui. And he grew up and didn't get to see his father. And then his mother told him and gave him instruction, in order for you to find your father, Tangaroa, you have to go to this place here. And you'll come across a field of grasses that will grow very tall, taller than you. And in order to find your father, you have to take the massive big knife and you're going to have to start cutting the grass and don't look back, and you'll eventually find your father. So the young boy Maui got there and he found the grass of Pat's field of grass, and he started cutting and cutting and cutting, and he thought, I've done great. Maybe I'll just look back and see how far I come. And he looked back, the grass grew up higher again. So he has to go back and start cutting and cutting and cutting. And he thought, oh, I've done a lot here. Maybe I'm nearly there. He looked back, the grass grew back. And then the third time, he remembered what his mother told him. You must not look back. So little Maui kept cutting and cutting. And then he found a place of his father. This is what God is referring to in Isaiah 43. Do not look back. He said, forget the former things. Do not dwell or live in the past. He's not asking you to manage the former things better. He's telling you not to live from it anymore, because in Christ he has done something new. And please allow me to explain this further by using a model in Fresh Hope that we use. For those of you who have done it, familiar with this model here in the Fresh Hope for Mental Health course. And in here, it explained the fact that in our lifetime, we experience some kind of event, an encounter, and all these events kind of fit in to kind of filter in our life, in the filter system. And over time, those things in the filter, you know, will turn into a core belief system that we believe in those things that has happened. You know, we believe that I'm unlovable. God is distant. Nothing is ever going to change. Those beliefs generate those automatic thoughts. And those thoughts shape those beliefs, drive our emotions. You know, we get to that place, it drives our emotions. And then we experience anxiety if we choose if we are driven by those filters, you know, we can feel the anxiety, the shame, the withdrawal, the anger that dictate our behavior. Or when the belief system are healthy and true, we experience a peace and hope and healing and a wise action. Our action will be different. Quite often we look at a person and we try to analyze their behavior and their lifestyle and all of that. Well, this person like this and this and this and that. When in fact, our old past is in some way holding us back. So how this model fits the unstuck? Unstuck is not just about fixing the behavior on the surface. It's about exposing the filter and the hidden core beliefs. It's bringing them under the light of the gospel and the scripture and letting the Spirit renew our minds, our thinking, our feelings, and our behavior gradually lining up with God's truth. So in Unstuck, you keep saying, in effect, if you want different feelings and different lives, you can't start by trying harder on the outside. You have to let Jesus change what is the inside and fill this on the inside. So I want to ask you this morning, what is the core belief about who you are? Ask yourself that question. What is my core belief about who I am? According to the gospel, and Paul highlights here, the core belief of the follower of Christ is simple. It's this: you died with Christ. Your old self is not under renovation. It's under burial. Dead. Done. Stop trying to strap a resurrection around our past into your old identity. Let them stay in the tomb. Let the former things stay former in the past. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is that freedom starts with a new identity. We don't think about identity, but he says that's where freedom starts. Now, Paul turns from what is true about you to talk about how you think about you. He says in Romans 6, verse 11, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Counting yourself is an accounting terminology in language. You log in, you reckon it, you reconcile, you record it and invest it. Record it as real. In other words, think of yourself the way God has already does. And this is where the battle is. Many Christians believe they are forgiven, but still live as they are fundamentally the same person as yesterday, trying to behave differently with the same identity sitting underneath. But the gospel doesn't just give you a new start. It gives you a new self. You know, other places Paul says this: if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Put off the old self and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Clear. You are not a slightly improved version of an old you. You're not a modified, just an upgrade person. You are in Christ, a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Isaiah 43 uses the words, but the same idea. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Can't you see it? Can you see what's happening? Quite often we can't see what's happening, what God is doing, because we keep looking back. We keep going back. God is not asking you, can you make a new you? Why? You and I can't make a new us. That's God's job, and He has done it. He's asking you, can you see what I'm already doing in your life? Romans calls it the counting yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Isaiah calls it perceiving it, pay attention to, keep your eye on the new thing that is already springing up. I remember a couple from my old church who adopted a child from an overseas orphanage. The child grew up in a very harsh orphanage and circumstances. The child of the adoption found himself in Australia, a new country, a new home, a new bedroom, a full fridge, and so much love. Months later, the couple said, the child still hid food under the bed, still hiding food under the bed, still very scared when someone raised their voice. Why? Because legally, he's an adopted child. But emotionally, identity, he still feel like that orphan child back there. Still an orphan. That's many Christians. We claim legally we're Christian. You're adopted, you're forgiven, free, I attend church. Take it off. But somehow, in identity level, you still live like you are on a spiritual probation. Still trying to work your way through because you're going back. I'm not ready. I'm not there yet. I'm still not good enough. I'm trouble. I'm shame. Psychologists and counselors point out that many believers live in a cycle where shame, unhealthy behavior, creates more shame, leads to an unhealthy behavior, which creates more shame, and round and round, and off they go. Romans 6:8 is God stepping into that cycle and saying, the shame-filled orphan identity is over. It's long gone. You're my child, and you are united with my son, therefore, start living from that place. Freedom doesn't start by trying harder. Freedom starts by going deeper, believing deeper, seeing an encounter is through the new God, new thing God is already doing in you. That's what freedom is. You start from that place. We often miss that because we go back and start from the past instead of freedom that we experience with a God. You know, Paul is saying freedom starts with a new identity. Therefore, start live like who you really are, who you now are. He makes the therefore move. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desire. For sin's soul no longer be your master because you are not under law but under grace. Notice the order. You die with Christ. You are alive with God. Alive to God. Therefore, do not let sin reign. Simple equation, isn't it? It's not a rocket science to work out the simple equation. He doesn't say, stop sinning so that you might die to sin. He says, because this is already true, now live like it. It's almost like we should live like a forgiven Christian because he's forgiven us. Are we living a forgiven life? In other places, he went on to say, this is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again. You know, sin is still present in your life, but it's not present. You know, he's not the master. Isaiah 43 gives you a picture that I am making a new way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You may still feel like you are in the wilderness of an old habit or temptation, but God has cut a new road through in and pour living water into these dry places. That's the heart of the God to whom we come to believe. I spoke with this man at the pool this week. He's a friend of mine, and he told me just recently he finished off from his job. It's been a month, and his old boss still ringing, texting, hey, can you come just to help us do some things here? For a moment, he was tempted to say, sure, I'll come. But then he paused and then thinks to himself, hey, I've already finished. You're no longer my boss anymore. I shouldn't have to come what I used to do. I shouldn't do that anymore. Folks, that's Romans 6. Sin will still ring your phone. The old patterns, the old temptation, the old scripts in your head. You're still that addict. You're still that angry person. You're still that bitter person. You're still that failure, that person. In Christ, you can look at it and call that call and say, you know what, sorry, I don't work for you anymore. I don't work for you anymore. Sin is not my boss. I have a new master. God has made a new way through this wilderness, and I am walking that road now. Hallelujah. So what are the overall application of all what Paul is trying to say here? To unstuck is to transition, is to move from managing sin to walking the new way. Managing sin? Stop managing sin and start living from identity. Some of us treat sin like mold on the wall. You know, you see mold, you scrub it, and it goes away. The following weeks, you come back and check the shower, the mold is back again. And you start to think, oh, you scrub harder and scrub harder. Then you end up buy some really good gadget product from the Temu or you know, other places that you thought, oh, this is so good stuff. And you put it all over and over. The following week, the mold is back. Only to realize, then eventually realize the problem isn't the wall. The problem is the pipe behind the wall. Many of us spend our Christian life scrubbing symptoms. I'll manage my anger better. I'll manage my addiction. I'll manage my drinking. I'll manage my anxiety with a bit of prayer and a lot of distraction. If I can just do all that, I'll be fine. But the gospel says God didn't just wipe the wall. He went behind it at the cross and he dealt with the symptoms. Nothing will ever come back because he did it all on the cross. He deal with the old self. And Romans 6 says that your old identity, your old slavery has been crucified. You are not called to become a free by better management. You're not a manager of sin. You are a product of God's work doing new things in your heart. And that's the place we need to go from. Being free in Christ. Secondly, stop fighting for freedom. Start fighting from freedom. That's the place we need to fight from. Because of Jesus, the starting point is not slave trying to earn freedom. No, it's free person learning to walk in freedom. Romans 6 calls us newness of life. Isaiah 43 calls us a new thing, a way in the wilderness and stream in the wasteland. So here's the concrete reframe that we need to take away today. Stop saying, I'll never get changed. This is who I am and will always be. Start saying, in Christ, God has already begun doing new things in me. And now I'm learning to live like the person He says I am. Not what I say or what other people say, what God says that I am. In Australia and beyond, people are clearly stuck in habits and addictions. Spend a lot of money trying to work on the scrub symptoms kind of approach. Our world has many sin management strategies. You just type on AI, it lists a whole lot of strategy of how to deal with it. When Romans 6 offers something better, and it's this, a crucified old self, a risen new self, and Holy Spirit's power. What more can you ask for? Here's the appeal, and for us to respond. Maybe you feel exactly what those surveys describe. You think that you're stuck in a rut, you're stuck in a guilt, you're stuck in shame and fear, stuck in something that you can't shake it off. I just can't. Hear Isaiah 43 again in God's promise over you. Forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing new things. It springs up. Do you not see it? I am making a way in a wilderness, a stream, in a wasteland. Romans 6:8 is God's word to you this morning. You've never heard that. And if you heard again, but you forgot, hear this. Because of Jesus, you don't have to stay who you've been in the past to this moment. Because Jesus died your death so that your life could be behind. He rose again so you could walk in newness of life. A spirit-built highway through your wilderness, living water in your new wasteland. The invitation is not to try harder to be religious. The invitation is to be united with Christ. Die with Him, rise with Him, and live with Him If you're not a follower of Jesus, the first step is not to clean yourself, but to give yourself up and follow Him. Maybe a simple prayer, Lord Jesus, I want to put my own self into You. I want to become free and set free and live that new life that I heard today. I want You to be my Lord, my Savior, and I want to walk in the newness of life. So this week, when the old call you, old self call you, don't pick up, just smile and say, I am not that person anymore. That's if you're a follower. Don't pick up. Just don't pick up. This is one of the reasons why we come to Catalyst. Because this is where you're reminded who you really are. It is here. This is where we refuse to believe the lie that we are stuck being who we've been. This is where every week we get around a Savior who didn't just forgive us, He set us free and give us hope. So this week, when the old you calls, don't pick up, to smile and say, sorry, you got the wrong person. You got the wrong person. Treat it as a scam. Be nice. Because the old me died with Christ. The new me is alive in God. God is doing a new thing and beautiful thing in me. And I'm walking His way in the wilderness. If you're comfortable, would you bow your hands? So lead us in the time of prayer. And if you like, just open your hands. Open your hands. If you walk in here feeling really heavy, open your hands. You want to set free. You want to let go. Let God just minister to you. Let us pray. Father, as we come to You, we just want to say thank You. That in Jesus' name, there's power, there's healing, there is hope, there is new beginning. Thank You that our old life died with You on the cross, that You did all the scrubs so that there is no more symptoms, no more mold could be seen in our lives, because the blood of Christ was washed clean. We confess this quite often. We believe in the power of our past instead of the power of resurrection. Today we bring our old identities, the labels that people spoken over us, the name we've been calling ourselves, the guilt, the trauma, the secret sin that whisper, this is who you are now and you are never going to change. Thank You that on the cross our old self was crucified with You, that sin's no longer our master. And Holy Spirit, help us to forget the former things and not dwell in the past. Open our eyes to perceive these new things and not be distracted. Where shame has written unlovable, dirty, or beyond hope, would You write new creation? Beloved child, You're free. And this morning, if there's anyone here who feels chained to addiction, whisper, Lord, this is not Your master anymore. For the one carrying deep sexual shame, speak to You are washed. You are washed. You are sanctified. You are justifying my son. For the one whose identity has been wrapped around failure, or divorce, or betrayal, gently say, Lord, this is not Your name. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And for those who don't know You yet, You draw them, give them courage to say, Jesus, I give You my own life. Make me new. For those who don't know You but have been living often, teach us to count ourselves dead to sin, alive to You, and never to answer any call. Lord, we pray that You let this not just a moment, but an invitation for us to make a decision, maybe for some of us we never made before, so that we can experience the freedom in Christ. Heal us, free us, rename us in the strong and beautiful name of Jesus. And all God's people say, Amen.